Ghostly Talk. Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on October 22nd, 2006. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com. As if Ghost Month could not get any wilder, tonight is a night of nothing but Michigan ghost hunting groups here on Ghostly Talk. We will be talking to four of the most prominent ghost hunting teams here where Ghostly Talk calls home in the Great Lakes State. Put on your seatbelts.
Tigers lost last night.
I heard. They're going to try again today, though.
I think they're playing right now, aren't they, Chris?
Tigers got killed.
Not for another hour and a half.
They're playing tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
We'll lose, like, one listener at 7:30. Yeah.
We'll be down to four, then.
I know. I hate that.
Oh, my God. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we have in the studio tonight, as we've announced on our website for, like, the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. Mr. Chris Bailey from Grimstone Incorporated is here hanging out. How you doing, Chris?
Pleasure to be here.
And we're going to be hanging out all night. Chris is going to be here all night long hanging out with us. We are talking. Tonight is Jello Biafra's talking in the background.
I hear him.
All right. Watch this. We have the power.
Ah, there you go. That rocks well. All right. Anyway, well, Ghostly Talk, we had our party, right, last night. And thank you to Bonnie Erica for throwing that awesome party. If you haven't seen the photos, I wore a costume that was hot.
They'll be on the website tonight.
It was really interesting.
I was the most let's put it this way, my costume causes flash bounce. So anyway,
that's actually a really good way to put it, man.
Yes, my costume was the flash bounce creator, so it was not a very good night for an investigation, but it was a good night for a party. And speaking of a party, I heard they had a throwdown in Texas. Now, I know this is the Michigan Ghost Hunting Group night, right?
Yeah, but we have field reporters.
But we have the first half hour to do with what we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for example, one of the things we wanted is we wanted to bring Chris Bailey in to comment on the entire evening,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, which we're fairly familiar with. Well, how should I say? I'm not awake.
I wonder where that was going.
I don't know either.
I'll psychoanalyze that later.
Thank you.
But one of the things that I wanted to do is I had heard about a month and a half ago, that our very own field reporter from Houston, Texas, Elmo, was going to have a grand paranormal ball. For all the ghost hunting groups down there in the Houston area, and anyone who wanted to travel to Houston, they could go to the Grand Paranormal Ball hosted by Elmo and his various groups. He's in charge of a number of groups now, or he's got a lot of help though. But definitely thanks to all the folks who helped him out. But they threw this Grand Paranormal Ball, and I heard it was to be last night. I heard that about a month and a half ago. Well, what happens is I invited him on for our first half hour. Of tonight. So I know the theme is Michigan, but I want to hear from my favorite paranormal enthusiasts from Texas.
Well, Texas
about
and Michigan,
their paranormal ball.
Texas and Michigan have a lot of things in common, though. They're both states in America.
We're both, we're both among the 50. Hey, Elmo.
What's up, Elmo?
Huh?
What's up, Elmo?
I'm broadcasting live from Houston, Michigan.
Oh, okay. There we go. We're from Houston, Michigan. We've got Elmo, and Elmo, I wanted to talk to you about it. I have to hear how your first annual Grand Paranormal Ball went. Who made fools of themselves? It's really down deep. That's all we want to know. Yeah.
We're still reviewing the video for evidence.
We have
lots of video to review. Actually, you know, it was more or less the brainchild of my assistant, Albert Payton. He came up with the idea of a paranormal ball, and my friend Kim Montgomery and her group, Ghostbusters of Texas, kicked it off.
Mm-hmm. So it was the brainchild of Albert?
Right, correct. Otherwise known as Payton.
Okay, Payton.
And he came up with the idea of uniting all the ghost hunting groups in the area and throwing a big Halloween party and calling it a paranormal ball. It was hosted by the historic Balinese Room in Galveston. I think I've spoken about the Balinese Room in the past.
It's
a favorite haunt of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 50s, it was a nightclub that was a real hotspot for Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra whenever they came to Galveston to do their shows.
Mm-hmm.
It was owned and run by mobsters, real live mafia, and there are stories of bodies being tossed off the back of the pier. What you have to understand is the Balinese Room sits on a 600-foot pier jutting out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Absolutely so amazing. I mean, that is awesome. There weren't stories of people being tossed off the back of the pier last night, were there?
No, none that I know of. Yeah, we have to give a big thanks to Scott Arnold, the owner of the Balinese Room, for letting us have our party there. He's been wonderfully flexible working with us, both in ghost hunting and partying. We actually broadcasted the announcement for this ball to about 20 different groups all over Texas, from San Antonio to Austin to Dallas, even Harker Heights, and don't ask me where that is. We had a pretty good turnout. We had about 30 people from our local group showed up, and there was another 30 or so that just walked in and paid the admission and joined us. So we had about a good 60 people there last night.
And this was a paranormal
costume contest.
Yeah.
Huh?
This was a paranormal ball. Am I correct? I mean,
correct.
You guys just dressed up. I mean, you guys were all in your costumes, I imagine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
it was mainly just a Halloween party for ghost hunters.
Well, Elmo, I have a question. Who didn't show up in costume?
Okay. Now, that's been a subject of controversy over my costume because, see, all right, I'll admit it. I waited till the last minute. And, you know, I was originally going to go as Elvis. Then I changed my mind. I wanted to be Frankenstein. And I think I wound up appearing as a gangster pimp, which would probably be Scott L's daily
attire. That's how I came last night. Everybody was complaining.
Right. It sounds like the gangster pimps got wailed upon last night about their costuming.
Yeah, you know.
Uh-huh.
Here in Detroit, uh-huh. Michigan, and down there in Houston, Michigan. A.K.A. Texas.
Uh-huh. And I even considered, you know, coming as a pregnant trailer trash mother-in-law, you know, with the moo-moo and the curlers and the hair and everything. But, you know,
that's what I look like in the morning.
I was going to leave that for Scott L., but he didn't do it.
Scott didn't do that this year. He wore his gangster rap outfit.
Right.
Normal attire. And it was kind of sad, because you were the only one, Scott L., who didn't attend the ghostly talk.
And I was dying of complete and utter guilt the whole night, as you can tell.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I know the feeling well. But we had some good costumes there. I mean, Kim was all dressed up like a green fairy. People kept making absinthe remarks to her. Have you ever heard of the absinthe green fairy?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, we had a couple of our members are also into the Renaissance Festival that they have around here this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the King Arthur Days type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wore their Renaissance gear, and oh man, I mean, we're talking beautiful outfits.
Yeah, you can always tell those things. They share those outfits. Huh? They share those outfits, you know, between Halloween and Renaissance season, so to say, I guess. You see them in the same costumes. I know those types. They're very easy to spot.
Well, I have a question. Did anybody, was anybody's costume responsible for lens flare? or flash bounce?
Let me think. no, not quite. We had some good costumes. Geez, it was also band night. They had over 11 bands playing for us.
Wow.
You believe it? Everything from the hardest, heaviest heavy metal all the way to the most urban rap you can think of. And believe it or not, I've learned to dance to rap.
I didn't know you could do that. I thought it involved a lot of,
dancing to rap?
Wow. There must have been
we have the video.
Bar.
I'm still going over the video.
Is that going to be up on the YouTube anytime soon?
yeah, that's coming. That's coming soon. Overall, it was a big success. It really was. And last night, you know, after it was all over, we were kind of flipping through some of the photos, and we actually got a few orb shots and a couple of real interesting-looking ecto shots in the ballroom of the Balinese.
Hmm. We got a lot of shots.
We're definitely going to work on spending the night there some night soon and doing a real live investigation.
Last night at our party, there were a lot of shots, but orb shots, ecto shots, nothing like that. Nothing
jello
like that.
Shots?
There were a lot of jello shots, yes.
83
of them, evidently.
Well, the most common apparition of last night was something known as the Long Island Iced Tea. Which I'm sure you've heard of.
That's a legend that dates back to 1873.
Is it real? Yeah. Is that when the drink was invented?
No, I just made that up. But I'm sure I can spin a legend about the Long Island iced tea of Galveston.
Last week it was
And evidently it impacted my group quite well because my phone has been dead quiet today. Not a single call, which is pretty unusual for my phone.
Not bad, not bad. Oh my gosh! So the aspirin market must have done pretty well today on both sides.
Excedrin is our drug of choice.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There we go. Well,
Excedrin has caffeine.
It sounds like it was a good time though, Elmo. It sounds like you guys had a great
time. We had a blast. It was just incredible. I mean, just incredible.
How many paranormal groups do you think were represented? And did everybody get along and have a blast and just, like, really dig into the Halloween time festivities?
Or was there gang warfare?
Yeah.
Or was there warfare?
I'd say so. Gosh, I mean, the groups involved, first and foremost, Kim's Ghostbusters of Texas. Mm-hmm. Then you have my Texas paranormal group. We had people from the South Texas Ghost Trackers, Houston Society for Paranormal Exploration. We had a few people come down from Dallas, which is about a four-hour drive. I'm very impressed and pleased that they were able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, we had people coming from all over Texas to see this. I was a little embarrassed. I didn't get a chance to talk to everyone. The noise level in there was incredible. It really was with the bands playing. Scott, you would have loved some of these bands, man. I mean, we had one band, I think his name is Texas Johnny, I believe.
Texas Johnny.
Some 17-year-old. Man, he was up there just wailing to the heavy metal. I mean, he had the whole club shaking.
That's cool.
And
Doug wrote the name down for me.
I wrote the name down. Yeah. I'm going to see what we can do, and if he's got any original music, we'll see.
Yeah,
if
we'll
can
play it on.
We'll
have it played on the show for sure.
Yeah, we'll get in touch with him and say he's got the highest of recommendations.
Cool. Yes.
Cool.
So
that sounded like, it sounded like it was a really good party though.
What'd you guys have? What was on your food fare? Did they feed you at all, or was it just all drink?
Food? No, it was all drink.
All right, now that's a party.
Huh?
I said, that's a party.
Yeah. Well, we all stuffed ourselves before we came down there. We hit up the infamous Mario's restaurant in Galveston and just stuffed ourselves on pizza and seafood.
Oh,
Oh, man. I mean, I was really so full, I didn't think I was going to get drunk, but it happened. It did happen. I got drunk.
Congratulations, Elmo.
All right.
Congratulations.
All right.
Thank you.
You know, if you try hard enough, you can do anything in life, Elmo. You're proof of that.
That's true enough, and I'm not going to tell any stories of any of the other members because I don't want it to come back and haunt me.
Oh, don't lie. You're laying in bed with like three women right now as you talk to us. I know what's going on.
I wish that were the case. No, I'm laying in a taxi in downtown Houston making up for yesterday, the day I took off.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So,
but, I still have a cooler full of beer in the trunk, leftovers for later.
After work, yeah. Well, so you had the Grand Paranormal Ball. It was obviously a rousing success, and it brought together all kinds of different groups. I'm extremely happy to hear that. I don't think our particular party, our Ghostly Talk party last night, it did not really bring together ghost hunting groups. But boy, did it bring together a lot of stories.
I bet it did.
There's many, many, many stories, and there's what at last count, Bonnie had taken 173 photos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the last count that I had. Her camera was on for like a solid 2 hours, and her batteries were flashing. She was having issues with power after, you know, taking 173 photos. So I'd say that's a pretty decent camera power-wise.
I have close to 200.
Close to 200 now? Were there any, like, at morning after photos taken?
No.
Ah, so that was just party photos.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, that's some evidence. That's some real evidence y'all are going to have to pour over there.
Well, we don't have a video, but we...
173 photos,
we
said?
Have videos.
We do have, the kind of videos that are taken by
173 photos.
Okay,
and
so from approximately 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. last night, you took 2.77 photos a minute.
And?
I believe that.
I just threw that out.
Almost three photos per minute.
I don't know why.
I didn't necessarily take them all.
And that's just your camera.
I'm in some of them, so...
I don't know why I decided to crunch those numbers, but it just seemed interesting.
I don't know why you did either.
But that was just on one camera. I know for a fact that Tom's camera was going
full tilt. Tom had 70 some.
I know that Amber had a camera flashing. So we didn't have an actual video camera, like a camcorder going, but we could take all these photos and we could stack them, you know, behind each other and then flip through them. Yeah. And that would provide quite a picture of last night. A lot of rear ends.
I tell you what, though, the whole idea of a paranormal ball is an excellent one, and one that you all should consider up there. I mean, I know there's a number of ghost hunting groups in your area.
Yeah, Chris, get on that.
Yeah, we got Chris here. Chris, there you go, man.
Grand Paranormal Ball.
You're not going to get us to do it. No, it ain't gonna happen.
We'll put up a life size. We'll put up a life size cutout of Albert Payton and say, you know, Grand Paranormal Ball founder.
I can supply the photo for that.
Perfect. And then we'll have our Albert Payton's Grand Paranormal Ball Michigan branch or whatever.
There you go.
We'll start a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's something we're definitely going to be making an annual event for sure. For sure, and it's going to get bigger and better with everyone.
If October wasn't such a crowded month for us.
You know, kidding.
Oh, tell me about it.
I would like
tell
nothing better than to spend, at least a day at the Grand Paranormal Ball and then a couple days recovering in Houston, Texas. I mean, that would be
passed out in a hotel room in Houston, Texas, like Ozzy Osbourne.
Dangling like from a pier, you know.
Well, that was this morning. Now I'm suffering in my taxi.
Wow. I am absolutely impressed. So, Kim of Ghostbusters of Texas. If that's right. Excellent. Kim of Ghostbusters of Texas put it on. She obviously did a lot of hard work. Good job, Kim.
She really pulled it off. Yep.
Absolutely amazing.
She even hosted and narrated the entire evening for us, basically.
Wow.
Announced all the costume contest winners. We did a photo contest. We've had a running photo contest on her group You know, on all of our various hunts, people take different, you know, shots, orb shots, ecto shots, whatever. And she's had a contest running for about 2 months now. And, yeah, the winner was announced last night at the ball. It was, Kim Von Bruno, who is a member of basically every group here, got won the grand prize of an investigator's bag with flashlights and everything. For her picture of a light tracer that was flying through Mushke Cemetery up here in North Houston.
No kidding.
Fascinating.
Really good picture, too.
So, well, Kim Von Bruno, good job. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we did some contests. We had a dance contest as well, which I was in. Well, I did not win. Needless to say.
You're lucky I wasn't down there. I danced all you out of the hall.
What did you dance to? What was the, or was it like more than one song, or was it one main song?
Rap music.
Rap music?
They did it real television show style. You know, they gave us one long, kind of an urban techno type music. You know, the kind of stuff that would make Scott L. curl up and cry, I'm sure. But it was very easy to dance to. And, you know, after we went through one long song or two, then each one of us had to go up on stage and they give us a short burst of a beat, you know, for us to give a good move on. And, it was a real dance contest. I think the winner last night for that was Paula Broussard, who's also a member of basically every group in the area.
Was it like that? What's that movie, Amber? Was it like that movie, You Got Served? Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah.
You Got Served, where you've seen these movies in the 80s, haven't you, Doug?
Some of them,
like
yeah.
The battle dance movies where the one guy dances at the guy and he looks him in the face like he's going to beat him. And then the other guy's like, I got to take that. And he dances back at him and he starts dancing. And now there's a dance battle going back and forth. And now it's a battle to the end of whoever gets embarrassed first or I don't know what that is. It wasn't like that, was it? You guys were battle dancing.
Battle dancing.
You were doing that.
I like that. The October battle dance. Sounds great.
Uh-huh. And like you said, you know, October's just a jam-packed month for us. We actually had to drop, cancel, and reschedule one of our investigations at the beginning of the month. We were scheduled to go to Jefferson, Texas for a two-night, double-overnight investigation of the haunted Jefferson Hotel. Yeah, due to our schedules and finances and everything, we had to cancel out on that one. But we're going to try again maybe in a month or so.
Well, sometimes you have to enjoy yourself. You know, you take some time off and relax and have fun. So.
Yeah, and October being what it is probably not the best month to be scheduling things like, you know, things like that. Just because it's so packed for ghost hunters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson Hotel... I might have been.
Yeah, well, not just the Jefferson Hotel. I mean, basically the whole small town of Jefferson has a claim to be haunted. They even have their own Live Oaks Dead Folks tour of all the local cemeteries.
Wow.
There's a coffee shop across the street from the Jefferson that will do an overnight for us. They claim to be haunted.
Mm.
So since we had to cancel out on that one, we did something a little more local down in League City. We checked out what's known as the Killing Fields here. There again, that was a network kind of core group thing between Kim's Ghostbusters and the rest of us. And we basically back in the 80s along the Gulf Freeway between Houston and Galveston, there was a series of serial killings of young ladies. And a few bodies were found in some of these fields. So we spent a lot of time investigating some of these fields and basically poking around, shooting video. Kim's a pretty good psychic. She felt out a lot of things, Judy as well. So we've spent a lot of time working on that simply because it's just so local and so fascinating. There's quite a story behind the Killing Fields, and it's actually an open case. It hasn't been solved. They've never caught the killer.
Mm, wow.
So, that's something that we've been kind of fascinated with lately. We also did an overnight investigation at Judy's boat shop. Her family owns and runs a boat shop down towards South Houston. She claims that herself and as well as a few of the workers there have actually heard voices. And this isn't just EVP. They're hearing voices in the shop. And we spent the better part of a night there. There again, still going over the evidence. We didn't get much that night, but we're planning on going back again real soon. Real soon.
Excellent.
So, you know, we're keeping busy. I still managed to get Texas Paranormal in on a dowsing rod workshop. I think I mentioned that the last time I talked to you guys. We had a meet out in Bear Creek Park where there's a few cemeteries that have a pretty infamous claim to be haunted. Fiona Broom, my assistant, led the group on making and crafting dowsing rods and then putting them to use out in the field to locate spirits and or unmarked graves. And from what I understand, it was a big success. They actually found a few unmarked graves and found their alignment and everything using nothing but dowsing rods.
I've used them.
Have you ever worked with dowsing rods?
I've used them. One time, they actually, like, pulled me. I mean, they were working of their own.
Right.
I know they don't have a mind, but, you know, if they had a mind, it was of their own mind.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were pulling.
I found when that happens, that means you're actually doing it right.
Yeah.
If you're doing it right, you'll feel the rods pull. They actually pull like somebody's tugging on the end of them.
And that's exactly how it felt that one time. All the other times, they just would swing freely, and occasionally they would, you know, cross
uh-huh.
or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, it must be, you know.
It's an eerie feeling. It really is.
But when they move on their own and you feel it,
uh-huh.
it is like, oh, my gosh. I mean, it's definitely noticeable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and, staring blankly
yeah.
at me.
I'm just listening to you.
Oh, she's listening. Okay.
Your rods almost beheaded me one night.
That is
oh,
true.
Yeah.
My dowsing rods almost took Bonnie's head off.
We should go to break, though, unfortunately.
We should definitely go to break.
Elmo, yeah, thanks for coming
thank
on.
Thank you
yeah.
so much. And
not a problem.
I have to say, Albert, good job for thinking the whole thing up, the grand parable.
Yeah, we owe it to Peyton. Peyton was the man.
And of course, Kim's Ghostbusters of Texas organizing the
absolutely.
Event. Congratulations to Kim Von Bruno and Paula Broussard for your awards last night.
There you go.
And good job. Elmo, thank you so
yeah,
much.
We always
I'm
love
glad
having
you guys
Elmo.
Had a lot of fun. And thanks for opening our show with us.
For our Michigan show.
No problem. Hey, happy Halloween, you guys.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you this week sometime, Elmo. Thanks again, man.
Yep, get back to work.
Hey!
Hang on the line for 1 second, Elmo. Guys, this is Ghostly
Talk.
Alrighty. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We're going to go to break here. Coming up. Guess what? Yeah, everybody breaks their paper. Who do we got coming up, Scott? Jeff and Scott from Parahaunt, the first in the line of Michigan groups we have today. And Parahaunt's a very old group here.
Oh, they've been around,
forever.
They're
very,
very, very well organized.
And they're always out there doing speaking.
They're always out there doing something.
I can't talk to these guys. We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
This is Tommy Nesbin from the Haunted Hate Walking Tour. It goes out every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And you can get your tickets at hauntedhate.com. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk with Scott L., Doug, and Will.
Walk by with a shine. We talked of passion and dreams yet to come as pained in the night. One was leaving for Chicago, one's still working, one's still singing, one's still swinging, one's still wondering what a glass onion is, one rambling on and the other's not right. And if I were an old man returning to the streets that I once knew, I don't believe I'd be yearning to have it again and over to do. Time passed me around and around us it flew, and soon we had to go. But in every forgiving goodbye, we just want to let ourselves know that soon summer would end and fall would begin with a hundred sad see-ya-laters. And creeping upon us would be the rule that someone would have to wait. And if I were an old man returning, can't you tell me, won't you tell me why you won't last? And there go the mountains, and there go the streams, and there goes my life with all of my dreams. And there go the mountains, and there go the streams, and there goes my life with all of my dreams. And there go the mountains, and there go the streams, and there goes my life with all of my dreams. And then go the mountains, and then go the mountains, and then go, and then go, and then go all of my dreams.
Are you into the paranormal? Do you have things in your house that go bump in the night? Do you have flying orbs that come out of your closet? Or are your son or daughter having tea parties with someone who's not there and then telling you about them? Constantly talking about them. Does your son or daughter ever fall down on the floor and their eyes roll back in their head and they start talking backwards, drawing pentagrams on the walls? Perhaps, even, you've seen something come out of their mouth, like a huge spectral beam of light, or you photograph something weird. For instance, your dog, looking at the ceiling, and howling for no reason. If this is you, you may want to download the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society's official podcast at www.louisvillegs.com or on iTunes. Check out our podcast page for more information, and please, do something about your home, because it sounds haunted. Very haunted.
listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
In Michigan is definitely a treat. It's a treat not only because, you know, that's where Ghostly Talk is based, you know, so you might run into us, you know, which of course is always fabulous to do, but also because Michigan has just so much history, you know, Detroit, founded by the French, Lafayette, etc. And
Detroit,
Nain Rouge, etc. But you know, also the Indian culture, the, you know, Native American Indians reigned supreme here for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands. I don't know. I'm not a historian. years. And the culture has endured somewhat. I mean, I know that a lot of our, you know, culture has been you know, developed, but we do have a lot of Indian, Native American Indian culture around here as well. So what happens is having such a land with such incredible history, and then of course the shipping channels all around, so people coming and going all the time. Legends have built up over the years. To provide a rich ghost hunting ground. You know, hunting legends of ghosts and ghost ships, and the people traveling through Michigan have left their mark, and some may have stayed. So that's why there's a lot of ghost hunting groups in Michigan, and one of the most active,
and probably one of the oldest,
and probably one of the oldest. We'll start with, we're starting with one of the oldest and ending with another one of the very oldest. But it has got to be Parahunt, because Parahunt has been around. Scott B. Hattis has had Parahunt for quite a long time, since it was in operation before I you know, started studying this stuff.
It was
on
one of the first websites I went to for Michigan ghost hunting.
Exactly.
It was one of the first I know for a fact it was when I was just getting started out, you know, and the internet was in its full swing. I was like, wow, this is Parahunt site. So that shows you how, I mean, I've been around forever.
So what we're going to do is I want to read this and then bring Scott B. Hattis of Parahunt on. Parahunt is a group of talented paranormal researchers based in Michigan. Their mission is to assist the community as well as surrounding states in the understanding and education of paranormal phenomena. They perform paranormal investigations for businesses, private residences, as well as specific locations. They not only try to communicate with spirits, they help trapped entities cross over to a better place. Their goal is to prove the existence of an afterlife through scientific methods, experimentation, and research. Mm-hmm. They do not support the use of Ouija boards. Their investigations are free of charge. I would like to welcome
Scott
Hattis from Parahunt. It's miparahunt.com. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Well, thank you.
It's really great to have you on the show, finally. I've been wanting to do a show and get a bunch of Michigan ghost hunters on the show to discuss things here. And, you know, one of the first groups I thought of, obviously, was you guys when we wanted to do this thing. And I know, how long have you guys been around exactly? I forgot how many years it has been exactly that you guys have been in circulation.
We've been around about 15 years.
15 years. It's way before I got started.
Yeah, this is a long time before we got started. But, of course, you know, a lot of us have always been interested in ghosts and ghost hunting. We just didn't know about it until the advent of the internet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, miparahunt is a fantastic resource for ghost hunters and people who are interested in the topic alike and people who are having issues. Tell us about Parahunt, Scott.
Well, actually, I founded Parahunt because way back a long time ago, my wife and I lived in a house that was actually dangerously haunted. There was absolutely nobody around or available that could help us. We ended up selling the house and just leaving the house because it was horrible. And because I realized there was a need for this kind of thing, I've done all the research, I've done all the learning, and we're here to help. That's what we do.
And that's amazing. I know that I had met you once a long time ago at a gathering at I think Cindy's house.
Yes, you did.
And you guys put on a presentation of one of your current investigations at the time. And I thought, wow, this is absolutely amazing because they're totally organized, absolutely, you know, with it and together with all, you know, all your ducks were in a row, and you were really being serious for this client, this person who owned, I think it was a restaurant, or a restaurant/bar, and you were really, really working toward helping them and documenting what was going on, and I, that absolutely, really made a mark on me, because I was very, very impressed, and very, I was very impressed, and then you answered all of our questions. It was fantastic.
Well, how long ago was this, Doug?
This is about 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, and it was just absolutely amazing. I don't think you made it, but Will and I had headed out there.
Mm-hmm. I was Bonnie.
And Bonnie went there.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, that's right, because you got my.
And so did Kelly and we.
And I had gotten a book, and you still have it on Pendulum.
Yes, I did.
Good job, yeah. So, Scott, that was fantastic. And so your team, though, obviously your team has built up over the years and become quite instrumental and helpful to you. So tell us a bit also about your team. Who helps you, and what do they do for you and with you?
Well, my co-leader is Jeffrey Babbitt, who unfortunately isn't with us tonight.
Yeah, he's MIA. We lost him for some reason. What happened?
He doesn't get to be on Ghostly Talk this time.
Yeah,
this time. But that's okay. I'm sure we can talk with him in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
And who else helps? Who's else?
Well, actually, there's only one other core member. Her name is Pam. She's our main contact person.
Mm-hmm.
She is the one that does the interviews and things. And you have to understand that Parahaunt also uses a psychologist. And we have a demonologist that we sometimes confer with, just depending on the situation of the haunting and what we think is going on.
Well, I that's one thing I do understand, too, is that Parahaunt's one of the only groups in Michigan, actually more or less, let alone the country, where you guys specialize in demonology research also. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. We actually have a certified demonologist that we have with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're often calling him, you know, just depending on what the circumstances are, getting information from him. And I've also done study in the area of demonology myself.
Interesting.
We've been spending a lot of time with our good friend John Zaffis, who does a lot of work in that.
Yeah.
And we've learned a lot of interesting stuff from him through his presentations. It's quite an area of study in this whole thing, I have to say.
Oh, John Zaffis?
John Zaffis.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know him very well as far as communicating over the internet and email and stuff, and I've talked to him a couple times on the phone. Very interesting.
Yeah, once you sit down with him and like have a conversation, you wouldn't really guess that he's into this kind of stuff.
Right.
He's such a fun, laid-back person.
But when he puts on his business hat, mm-hmm. He is all business, and he really, I mean, over the years, he has definitely developed... you know, his place
Hey, I just got a phone call from Jeffrey. If you guys want to bring him on, he's ready.
Do a live transfer?
I don't know if we can do that.
Difficult.
It'd be very tough to do that, I think. Unless we
what if he calls in?
You'd have to pull him out.
We'd have to pull him out completely, wouldn't we?
Uh-huh.
We could try it, though. You guys want to try it?
Sure.
All right, let's give it a try.
We're gonna cut off right now. Why not? This will add a little bit of fun today. We're going to drop you off right now, okay, Scott? We're going to call you both back and bring you on, okay?
Okay.
So just hang tight, all right?
All right.
All right, cool.
Meanwhile, I'll entertain everybody.
Meanwhile, we'll sing our rendition of the Nutcracker Suite called Crack My Sweet Nuts. Are you guys ready?
Oh, my goodness. No, I have to study that before I can
perform. What'd I say? I didn't do anything wrong.
But this is actually pretty exciting.
You want to hear a story?
Because we're going to get to talk to...
We have a story. No, we don't have enough time. I think we're going to get them on here pretty quick, actually.
But we're... this is very exciting because Parahaunt, like I was saying, obviously 15 years is you know, one of the oldest...
easily one of the oldest.
And most incredible
Groups around, yeah.
Groups around. And I also want to talk with them about the work they do. They do lectures and dining experiences. I want to talk about that.
Okay, here they come.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys.
Jeff. Oh, we do have everybody.
Jeff, Scott.
Yep, we're here.
And Scott.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. We're all on the line.
We're all on the line.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was the, you guys do a lot, and then
welcome,
we'll,
Jeff.
And we'll talk about Jeff. But first, you guys do a lot of work where, because I've seen you in the papers, and you have dinners and lectures and different things, reaching out to people, you know, to come and see what you guys do and hear some investigations that you guys have done and you get to share with the public. And I'm wondering what the reaction is and how do people tend to react to you guys at your dinners and lectures? How do they
anyone? Jeff,
Scott. Well, everyone, just tell them about the Murphy Inn.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the response was really something when we decided to have this dinner over at the Murphy's Inn in St. Clair. There's a haunted bed and breakfast out there. And we basically, I mean, as far as what the room could hold, it could hold more than 20 people, but we thought that we'd, you know, be conservative and you know, just think about 20 people coming to this event.
Mm-hmm.
We printed 30 tickets just in case we needed more. And then all of a sudden, just before the event started, we found out that we had 34 people in the room and we had to shut the doors and they were turning people away.
Oh,
so
no.
The response has been just overwhelming as far as what we were doing. Everybody wanted to know about what was going on, you know, what Parahaunt, the research group, you know, what our latest research had uncovered. They heard about this place. They've known about this place for a while anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden a paranormal research group comes into town and wants to hold an event at that place. And the response was just overwhelming.
That's awesome. And these were folks like who just were from the area and they were interested in learning about what you guys do and what you found out.
Yeah, these people, you know, St. Clair isn't necessarily a small town. It's not a big town either, but over the years, I guess this place has had a reputation of having many stories associated with it. People would leave in the middle of the night, especially in one of the rooms, in room 207. People would leave in the middle of the night. They would tell, you know, the people on staff at the time, you know, keep your money, but this is what happened, and I don't know what's going on, but I'm leaving. You know, and the story's just built up, and so it's kind of a reputation. It has a reputation in the town. So when we found out about it, we approached the owners and suggested that maybe we have an event. We could sell tickets. We could do our seminar. We could share some of the research we've had, because
mm-hmm.
That's one of our mission statements is to educate the public. And we make it an event so everybody has a good time. We can teach other people what we do and perhaps maybe catch something, you know, interesting along the way, which we did. And then they decided that they wanted to do this as a regular thing, make it more or less an annual event. And so that's why we're doing it October 26th this year, right around Halloween time. They're actually thinking about closing the entire bed and breakfast, the bar area, the dinner area, everywhere, just to house all the people that we think will be there.
Wow.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Well, and a lot of these seminars, I mean, a lot of groups are putting these things on now, and everyone I've been, either A, been to, or, you know, B, heard of, they're all getting these phenomenal reactions to people.
Right, and everyone that I've been to, I've learned something.
Oh, absolutely.
And because I've gone to Chris's, I was to, like, a private one that Parahaunt had put on
mm-hmm.
At the Ghost Hunter thing, I've been to one, we're going to be talking with Brad of SEMGHS, I was to one of his. Every single seminar I've been to, I learn something, because, you know, that's what it is. You're always learning from other people. And Parahaunt has so much history investigating this stuff that attending one of their seminars has got to be, you know, like the creme de la creme, because there's all that experience that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And actually, it just doesn't end there either. Actually, what we do is every year, you know, we have all the investigations. Some are for real, and some are actually, you know, we don't find anything, or we actually run across people that try to set us up with, you know, telling us a story and it not turning out, you know, anywhere the way we think it's going to turn out. Scott actually had a great idea. In November, we're actually going to be conducting some more research as far as electromagnetic bulky racers. Scott, why don't you explain that?
Well, my theory is, if you have a strong enough electromagnet, you should be able to hold a spirit in place, because if you can detect them with an EMF meter, which detects the electromagnetic energy coming from a spirit or a ghost, using an electromagnet, you should be able to hold it in place. And we're
or
going
repel
to do
it.
Some or repel it, and we're going to do some experiments with that over the month of November.
So it's not just a matter of going out and doing investigations and just laying back on that. We're actually trying to be proactive to try to build a device that can actually detect spirits. We're actually trying to prove the existence of an afterlife scientifically, and if we can do that with electromagnetic bulk erasers to find out if they actually repel spiritual orbs or attract spiritual orbs, then we're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not just, you know, sitting back and doing investigations. We're actually trying to build upon the devices that are already out there, like infrared video cameras, digital cameras, you know, and everything else we use.
Well, that's kind of why we've been around for as long as we have, because we do the research and we do the homework.
Right.
And that's what, you know, that's one thing we've been talking about a lot lately on the show here. It's been something that keeps, you know, whether it's a ghost hunting group that comes on or it's people out in the field that are doing work, and there are lots of groups out there now. You guys know this probably better than anybody with all the media stuff.
Well,
going
the TV
on.
And
well, TV and all the media and all that stuff. There are a ton of groups out there doing work. But we've actually had some people on this show in the past that just pretty much laid down the law and said, look, haphazardly going out to a cemetery on a Saturday night and taking a bunch of pictures and not following any kind of protocols or guidelines is not going to help things at all. In fact, it might actually hinder our efforts as paranormal investigators. I'm just wondering what you guys think about that, too.
Well, I think we have some very strong opinions on that. as you know, in our seminars, we have a PowerPoint presentation that we present every seminar. And one of the pages is definitely in big, bold letters, always ask permission, you know, and always do not go alone. And, you know, but permission is the biggest thing. There was a story, I think it was a couple months ago, about a young girl who went into what she thought was an abandoned house with a bunch of friends or whatever. They were doing some ghost hunting. They thought it was cool. They saw it on TV.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it wasn't abandoned. There was a guy living there or a caretaker that was there or whatever. He thought that she was robbing the place or something. He shot her, and she died from that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very important to always follow a certain safety protocol, and we have these protocols written in our bylaws that we always ask permission. It's just one of the things you've got to have, because if you don't, if other groups don't do that, then they're making all of us look bad. They're making the people that really are trying to do the research, really ethical research about ghost hunting, and paranormal research, you know, they're giving them a bad name.
Uh-huh.
So it's very important to follow those guidelines.
Yeah, same thing happened out at the Felt Mansion two and a half or 3 years ago. A bunch of kids took underaged kids and kids, you know, older than 18. They all went out to the Felt Mansion and broke in. Well, this place was, you know, it's under renovation, and so there were alarms. And so the police get there, and they're having this party. So what did they tell the police?
Well, we were ghost hunting.
We were ghost hunting.
Yeah.
You know, while they sip their beer.
And they have beer. They had beer. A boom box and
radio.
A radio.
Yeah.
It was a party. It was not a ghost hunt. So definitely you've got to ask the permission. You have to, because a lot of people are, you know, interested in that stuff. I've gotten people to say no. But I've also gotten some yeses that I never expected in a million years. And
right, exactly. I know there was one time that Scott went to Soup Cemetery over in Belleville,
yeah.
And he was doing some research out. I mean, Soup is a beautiful place, a lot of history, a lot of old cemetery gravestones. And he was there, and I guess the sheriff showed up and recognized Scott and recognized the name Parahont and just said, oh, it's you guys. Okay, yeah, we know. You know, go ahead and do what you're doing.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, that's one big rule. You know, even if you are approached by, you know, an officer or something like that, we always make sure you be cool for one thing, right? That's an obvious. I think that's pretty much a given. But, you know, you always I always say carry some type of credentials on you. We always carry ghostly talk cards on us. And so,
right,
here, we're from this radio show. This is what we do, and this is what we study. So
we usually have our uniforms uniforms on, and we usually carry business cards, and we offer them to, you know, invite them to check out our website. You know,
yeah.
we're actual, authentic, and, you know.
Yeah, that's what a lot of groups, that's what I, one of the first things I tell people is always carry cards on you. Always carry
right.
business cards on you and let people know. And like you just said, invite them to your website. Go, look, this is, you're welcome to check it out anytime you want. We're not out here partying, trying to, this isn't a big hoax, you know, or something like that. We are out here just doing some investigation. We're not partying. And that usually, we've always had a lot of success with that. People have always been cool with us for that.
I want to know, before we let you go, because there's very few minutes left, I want to know, of course, two questions, two-part question. They have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
I want to know, ghost hunting in Michigan in particular, because this is our Michigan Ghost Hunter group show. Ghost hunting in Michigan in particular, and what's coming up for Parahaunt?
Scott, I'll let you talk.
Jeff, go ahead. I'm having a little trouble with my phone anyway.
Oh, okay. What was the first question again?
Ghost hunting in Michigan. What are
ghost
your
hunting
thoughts?
In Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, just your thoughts.
Well, gosh, you know, in Michigan, the history behind a lot of the there's just many places to research out here. Michigan also has a phenomenal Indian history, Indian burial grounds, things like that. Scott and I were in an area just we were up in Marshall District, up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We travel all over Michigan, and come to find out, there was a Potawatomi chief burial ground that we didn't even know about up there, and now that's in the back of our mind. We want to research that even further. And, you know, Parahaunt has such a good reputation in Michigan that, to add on to what you were saying earlier, is that when we do go into a place or we do ask a historical society of that area to research a certain place that is vacant or whatever, you know, we've been received very, very well. So, you know, I just feel that the future is totally open for us to do as much research as we want. We're coming out with a book based on a lot of the research that we've done in the past, which is coming out in the spring of 2007, I have a hunch that that's going to lead into a second book. The possibilities are endless.
Well, when that comes out, we want to have you guys back on as like a media promotion kind of thing, and to remind our listeners, hey, you know, there's this book out, and
these are our neighbors.
Our neighbors did it, so
right.
We want to be.
Yeah,
proud.
The book's going to encompass quite a bit. It's going to encompass not just actual scary ghost stories and all the things we've investigated, but it'll also have some funny ones, the ones that, like I said before, people were trying to make us believe that there was a ghost there when there really wasn't. And we also have stories about psychics and how we've uncovered a few we've debunked a few.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of different stories, a lot of different investigations.
Oh,
well,
really
maybe you guys could join us for a book signing as well. We could set something up.
I would
that
love
sound
that.
Great. We'd love
I
to be
would
there.
Love that.
We'll talk
fantastic.
Definitely. We'll keep on the email and we'll work something out if you guys are interested in doing something like that. We'd
absolutely.
That.
Cool. That's
absolutely.
So. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Scott.
Hang on the line for one second, guys.
Michigan,
we're just going to go to break. All right.
I want to remind everybody: October 26th in St. Clair, Michigan, at the Murphy Inn,
mm-hmm.
Parahaunt will be there. Go to www.miparahaunt.com. .com for more information. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Jeff.
This is Ghost of the Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.